Welcome back to Open House with Mark Sewick and Corey James Moran, brought to you by the Mark Sewick team at Keller Williams Realty, a Greater Rochester real estate podcast. Here we are, episode 18, Mark.
All right.
And by popular demand, we have more people here other than us, another guest joining us today, as we're going to talk a little bit about preparing your home for the market, which I think can probably be a series of episodes.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because there's so much, right?
Yeah, contractors, carpet installers, painters.
Yeah, that's right. We have Chris Sekula here from Sekula's Precision Painting. Going to be talking a lot about what, Chris, you've been up to in the market here, what it is that you provide. We're going to get to a lot of talk of listings as is versus putting a little bit of work in and seeing how far that can actually take that for you. But as always, love when you go and listen to all the podcasts. Again, this is episode 18, so plenty of ground that we've covered so far. If you missed it last week, we talked about buying a home in an area that you don't live because life needs to be more stressful.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a fun, I liked that episode.
Yeah.
And we talked about Munich.
We got very specific about Munich.
Yes, we did.
Nudity is involved, and I'm going to leave it there. You have to go
there
back
we go.
And
go
listen.
Go back and listen to that, yes.
That's called a tease in the biz,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, yeah.
Right there.
Thank you,
so
Corey.
So you can always go to MarkSewick.com. That is where we have all the podcasts linked up. And as always, subscribe, review, and most importantly, tell your friends about it. Share it, because that's how the podcast will grow, right? Unfortunately, no international update for you. So Chris, I'll get you in the loop on this. We actually have quite a bit of an international following, which is probably the most shocking thing you've heard all day today.
Not at all.
No, he's like, no, of course. No. Germany was our last one, hence why we were talking about Germany.
Before that, Bangladesh, if you can believe that.
All right. Got to set up a team out there.
Yes. There you go. Listen, that's my dream, is to have someone be like, I was listening to your podcast in Bangladesh, and we're moving to Rochester, and we need to find a home. So
perfect. There you go.
We'll see. We can always hope, right? I do have a market update for us here locally, though. Things bounce back a bit. So Monroe County now, we're at 563, which is a decent jump from last week. And then the bigger number is the six-county region. Always bigger, obviously, six counties versus one. But it's the highest that we've had, Mark, in maybe the entirety of this podcast. 1,011 listings right now.
Oh, yeah. That is
the
largest.
Highest, I think, right?
Yes, yeah. Interesting in that August is traditionally a slower, especially the last 2 weeks of August.
Mm-hmm.
That things always slow down. People are thinking about the last of summer. So the fact that people are listing right now is fairly unusual. But then again, everything about this year has been unusual.
Now, you made a point the other week, too, that maybe part of this is...
You were listening?
Of course.
You were listening to what
I... I actively listened during the podcast, normally, and then I listened back
after. You shut down your Emery board and got... Yeah.
But one of the things you brought up was how quickly the properties were going. I have noticed this just in my day-to-day. It seems like less properties are doing what's known as delayed negotiation.
Right.
Where essentially, to break it down in layman's terms, a deadline for offers, right? Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that too? Where it's just kind of seeming less of a thing? Certainly plenty of it, but I mean, for a while there, it was like every property.
Well, concomitantly, so you've got fewer offers coming in. You've got fewer delayed negotiations. You have properties actually coming down in terms of their list price. So, yeah, it's a constellation, if you will, of different phenomena. I think all tied to the same. So the big question from my perspective is what happens after Labor Day? You know, I've been predicting for a while now it's going to be this onslaught of buyers who are going to be returned to the market. It'll be interesting to see if that actually holds true.
Will do. That's the prediction for now. But
for now,
we'll see how it pans out. All right.
If it doesn't, we'll just erase.
None of this happened. You didn't hear this.
We previous have to get prognostication.
The men in
Hit
black
reset.
Pen. And this,
Nice problem.
Erase the memory.
Yes, very super dated reference. Excellent.
Not nearly as dated as, well, yeah. Corey suggested a while ago that I watch Dirty Dancing.
Here we go.
A word to the wise, ladies and gentlemen, do not watch Dirty Dancing. It just loses everything through the decades that have passed.
Chris, have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you agree with Mark?
100%.
Okay.
It doesn't hold its water.
It's atrocious.
No, why didn't you warn him? You could have saved him so much time. Mark, that's called deflection.
It's just an awful film. It's just terrible. Anyway.
Wow. All right.
It's great in its day.
I suppose.
I don't hate the idea of a side podcast of Mark giving movie reviews. I think that actually...
That's a good idea. Yeah. I like
all right,
that.
Let's cue that up because we've got nothing else going on.
Of course.
Yeah. We've got another 3 hours.
We could spare another hour, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Get 2 hours of sleep instead of 3.
Yeah,
Yes. There you go. Perfect.
Exactly. All right, let's jump into the main topic for today. Again, I believe it's probably a part one of preparing your home for the markets. So, Mark, when you go on a listing appointment and you walk into someone's home, you walk through, you look around, you take the notes of what it is they could do to spruce things up, and there's usually a conversation of them saying, well, it'd be better if I had to do nothing, right?
Most everybody wants to do nothing.
Of course.
Absolutely, yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. Easy way out, right?
Yeah.
So when they say that, what is your response?
I tell them there are no mandates. There never are any mandates. We simply, I'm there specifically to guide them and to offer the best advice that I can, and then allow them to make decisions that are going to be the best decisions for them. So some people want to put as much money into their pocket as possible at the end of the transaction. Others just simply want to put their house on the market for sale, get it sold, listed the next day, sold a few days after that. And so we just walk them through. But one of the things that people can do, and what's interesting is that up until this year, there would be a return of, say, a factor of two on renovations that you would be doing to your property. So in other words, if you were to have your house recarpeted and spend $2,500, or if you were to spend $2,500 in painting, you would sell your house for $5,000 more.
Well, look at that. It's a pretty good investment.
Yeah. Well, today, it's a return of 3 or 4.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Wow. So,
that's really interesting.
That is incredible.
Because if you put that into terms of maybe stocks, for example, and say, hey, here's a stock you can buy for $5,000 and you can double that. Who wouldn't jump at that?
And that is so spot on. I often say to people, okay, so I'm giving you an opportunity to make $10,000. Think about your day-to-day existence. You go to work, you work 40 hours a week. How long is it going to take you to make $10,000? And when you start to put it in terms like that, people, you can see the gears turning. You can see people beginning to think about, yeah, that really is a good, and it's a pretty quick and easy way of turning people around and getting them to do some of the work that they weren't necessarily thinking of doing.
And now, obviously, it's property specific. Some properties are going to need certain work done. Some will need other things done. But there's a lot of standard things that you can do to just kind of spruce things up, right? And since we do have a painting expert on with us, I think we should probably leave with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris, that is a great way to add, I mean, outside, inside, either way, to the property and just give it a fresh look. And an easier way to update than tearing out a kitchen or tearing out a bathroom.
Much more cost effective.
Yeah.
Too, really. I mean, you know, if you think about, if you have a couple rooms, maybe with some outdated wallpaper, which I know Mark really loves, you know, that's probably one of his bigger recommendations.
I'd say
that's definitely one of his bigger recommendations. Usually when Mark calls with a future listing, there's some wallpaper to be removed, which we've come to expect.
Yep.
But yeah, just by removing some wallpaper that's pretty outdated. I mean, I don't know much, you know, a lot of people that, you know, are into wallpaper anymore, but and then just putting some nice neutral light grays, light beiges, earthy tones in replace, or even say you have some old dingy trim, baseboards have been beat up over, you know, 10, 20 years, doors, casings, window casings, all of that makes a huge difference. There's a lot of times when we're done with a project and a customer feels like they've had their entire house renovated top to bottom just simply by removing wallpaper and putting a couple fresh coats of paint on. And it's pretty cost effective, you know, as well.
I agree with the whole notion of it being cost effective. Specifically, for a nominal amount of money, can transform an entire room. So let's say that it's going to cost $800 to paint out a bedroom. You're getting large surface areas. It might cost an entire house, a smaller house, might cost $3,500 to transform literally every single room with a fresh coat of paint.
100%.
Can you think of any other project where you can transform such large spaces for such a small amount of money?
No.
I mean, the only other thing that I can think of really is the three most cost-effective: cleaning the house top to bottom, you know, just like getting out a bucket of water and some soap, and that's obviously very, very effective. And then painting, and then carpet, I think, would be the third. But certainly painting is just a very, very, very impactful way of changing the entire sense and feel of a property.
Can I have those little dings in the wall where posters used to be, that sort of thing, because those are the things buyers notice a lot. And it is the detail I think, that can really change how you feel about a property. If you walk through, the bones are good, it's the amount of bedrooms and bathrooms that you want, but the walls look kind of dingy, it's outdated carpet, or it's outdated wallpaper, yeah. It's going to give you a different feel when you walk away from that property and if you want to put a bid or not. So it is. It seems like a good move. I wanted to cover this too, Chris, with you, because I feel like people also always want to try to find a way to save, right? And they...
Oh, man.
Well, Mark...
Of course, who doesn't?
Right? Mark, we need to repaint the... Oh, we can do that, right?
Yeah. Not so much.
Yeah. Chris, I'm going to open the floor up to you here and just to let people know, a professional versus just your average novice trying to do it. First off, it's worth the money just for the stress that you're not going to have to deal with.
Well, I'd say 100%. It's worth the money for the stress, but it's also, we're efficient, right? I mean, I'd say the standard DIY project for a bedroom to repaint probably takes a couple days, you know, opposed to me and a team of guys, whether it's two or three, four guys, get it done in a day, yeah. Half a day's worth of time. So, you know, when you look at it that way, say you have a couple bedrooms, a kitchen, a living room, a hallway area, you're getting a project like that done in 3 to 4 days, opposed to a homeowner, it might take them weeks or weekends because everybody works full time. Everyone has kids, everyone has a life. When are you really going to get that project done? Yeah. You know, that's the question. So I think it's definitely worth, especially, you know, the price that you're paying just to get it done, just to say, okay, we have a trusted guy that's going to get in here with a group of guys that have 15 years plus between each guy of worth of experience that does it on a regular basis that can just get in, get out, and leave behind a quality product.
All right, Corey, yeah. I don't know about you, but I know that there's a distinct difference between when I paint. No, first of all, I can't paint. You're like, you know,
I'm there with you. Yeah.
But if I were to ever paint a room, there's an enormous. Duffy is actually a really, really, really great painter. Meticulous. Mm-hmm. Never uses a drop cloth. Never uses blue tape. Nothing like that. He's meticulous. I can't do that. And there really is a huge difference between what it is that I'm capable of doing and what the professionals. And you would agree?
Oh, 100%. I would also have to fix the hole in the wall after I get frustrated from screwing it up a number of times and I punch it then we're in a whole different mess. But Chrissy brought up something interesting because it does tie into what we've been talking about with the market of how quickly it moves. To be able to get these things done fast is really important.
It's huge. Huge, for sure.
So a team of your guys could be potentially a day.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what you have, you know, I'd say we're usually good for 2 or 3 rooms a day. Yeah, if I can get 4 or 5 guys in on a project, that's pretty good. I mean, if you're looking at doing your whole house, you're under a week. I mean, we did a house that is going to be coming up for listing soon, pretty much top to bottom, I'd say about 4,000 square foot, and we did it in a week and 2 days.
I would be there for the rest of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it would look like hell.
Right.
It would look terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know how crazy things are as far as just really anything. It's hard to get any kind of contract work done. What's the turnaround time for you and your team?
I mean, I guess it depends on the project. You know, if you're talking a few rooms, we can usually squeeze it in within 2 weeks. If it's a larger project, I'd say we're usually about 3 to 4 weeks out.
And if I call begging you?
Yes, then we always like to make room for Mark.
Again, you do. And we're very, very, very grateful. So.
But again, this goes back to surrounding yourself with your advocates.
Yes. You're good at that.
There's so much.
So much full circle. Very impressive.
Able to find it.
So what colors?
Oh, yeah.
This is like really important. This is an important issue because sellers are always saying, oh, well, I'm not going to paint because I know whatever color it is that I'm going to choose, the buyers are going to hate it. And no, that's not the case. That's just people copping out. Well, what colors are big right now? What are people looking at?
I'd say right now, 9 times out of 10, it's some variation of a gray. Whether it's a medium a light. Yeah, most times. With your with your typical stark white trim, it just looks really nice. I think grays are so neutral that it doesn't matter what your decor is. So if you're getting ready to stage your home, you know, whether you have things that are 30 years old or more of a modern feel, I think you can get away with it either way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a bright white trim, it's just attractive.
It's clean, right?
It's clean. Yeah. It's fresh. It's new. I'd say like light French gray by Sherwin-Williams. Accessible beige. Agreeable gray. They're kind of cliche, but, you know, I'd say right now, like I said, 8 to 9 times out of 10, it's some variation of a nice, clean, medium to light gray.
Well, and I find that really fascinating and really interesting because until 2-3 years ago,
yeah,
gray was not big in Rochester. And part of the reason gray has never been popular in Rochester.
Oh, I have an idea.
Because it's gray here.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's five months out of the year.
From the middle of November in through the middle of April, it's gray. And so people are oppressed by the color gray. But I think that it became so popular nationally that it's finally started. It's infiltrated our market.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it quickly became unfashionable once again. All right, so I've got a concomitant question, and that is, I have one color that you don't want to paint your house on the interior of the walls. The worst color to paint your house on the interior here in Rochester. Do you have any sense of what that might be?
Red.
Oh, well, there is that.
Orange, bright yellow, antifreeze green.
I was thinking white, the color white.
Ah, yes, okay. 100%.
The reason for that is it is construed as being very cold, very off-putting, very sterile. And again, like the color gray, we're oppressed by the color white here in Rochester.
Why is that? Because of snow?
Because of snow. From the middle of November to the middle of April. And so, I'm going to take that call, Corey. I'll be back in just a minute. So I do think that if people are, I got to paint it white because it needs to be neutral. Well, there are more neutral colors and tones than white.
And I was going to say, a lot of times you do hear that from realtors where they're like, just come in and we'll paint it all white, a blank canvas, and then somebody can do what they want with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what are the benefits of not doing that? Like you said, if it's such a,
go ahead. It's not answering your question, but I'm immediately brought to, and this is such a terrible story. It's really very, very sad. I had a woman probably about 8-10 years ago, and she approached me in October saying that she was in an abusive relationship.
Oh,
her husband physically abused her, and she was planning on spending the entire winter painting the house out on the interior so she could put it on the market for sale in the spring, yada, yada, yada. I arrive in March. I had kept in touch with her. I arrived in March. She had removed all the wallpaper in the house. She painted it out top to bottom, months and months and months of labor. We had chosen all these great colors. Well, she had read in some national magazine of some sort that the color of the year was Arctic white.
Oh.
And she didn't realize that, this is a national publication as opposed to having a regional nuance.
Right.
And I'll never forget walking in. And normally I'm very, very direct with people. I'm like, wow, that was a big mistake. I didn't actually have the heart to tell her.
Yeah, that's rough.
It was rough. And that was a hard house to sell because she had chosen the wrong color.
So white.
Yeah.
That speaks what we're talking about, though. That choice, which just on the surface level, you think, oh, the color of the walls. Like, you can change it. What's the big deal? It is a big deal when it comes down to it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, even our rental properties, exact same apartment. One is painted a nice beige and the other is, a boring white. The nice beige is always going to sell a rent for $75.
So interesting.
Yeah, it really is.
It's the psychology of how people interpret things.
And we haven't spent any more money. We've just chosen a different color.
Right.
Yeah.
I still can't. I can't get over the names of the colors, too, by the way. I can't.
Yeah. My
wife, her dream job growing up, she wanted to be the person that named the fingernail paint colors.
Because paint swatches.
Yes, exactly.
Imagine that job. The names that they just throw out. It's crazy.
Do you have any favorite names of paint?
I mean, just like I said, agreeable gray.
Not colors you like. Names that are just outrageous. Like names that that you find really fascinating. And no, you have none.
Antifreeze green. There's literally a color.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say 5 years ago, and I don't know if it's still a color, and it's exactly what you would think. It's a neon green. I'm not kidding. A neon green. And it's literally, Sherwin-Williams sold it. I don't know if they do anymore, but 5 years ago, antifreeze green.
I'm just trying to think of someone sat in
the child color, probably.
Someone sat in their living room looking around. You know what? Antifreeze green is what this room needs.
It's incredible.
I'm going to have to I'm going to spend some time in the next few days just pulling up names. So
sure. Circle back to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe do one every podcast. What our new favorite paint color is?
I kind of like that idea.
That's a nice addition.
Again, we're being joined by Chris Sekula from Sekula's Precision Painting. Obviously, you walk into a lot of different rooms, and again, we don't mean this to be unkind, but it's the craziest thing you've walked into recently, where you just look around and you think, "Where am I?"
Wallpaper jobs, 100%. I mean, just the amount of floral wallpaper that was popular.
When was that popular?
Go ahead, Mark. When was it popular?
50s, 60s?
Yeah.
It's interesting because people haven't been really using wallpaper for probably 20 years here, 25 years. And that's actually always an interesting conversation. Well, the wallpaper, it's not that old. And I already know the answer. It's in great shape. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, tell me, you know, when do you think you installed that? And I, you know, I'm looking at it, and I already know it was like, you know...
30 years ago.
Yeah. Eisenhower was, you know, president. And as soon as you ask them that question, they're like, oh, it was 24 years ago. But every once in a while, there's an agent, I'm not sure how, a guy named Daryl Gronsky. He was a decorator back in the 70s. And I always know when we're walking to one of Daryl's homes because it's metallic wallpaper.
Oh!
Yeah. Wow. Like right out of like Studio 54.
It's so interesting. Yeah. And you think, you know, for that time, that was probably like, this is amazing.
Very, very, very cool. Yeah.
Like that made somebody buy a house was because of the metallic wallpaper. Or the ceiling metallic wallpaper, like the faux tin.
Yeah.
The tin look. Yeah. Oh my goodness. We've had to do some of that.
Well, agreeable gray is definitely a little more calmed and toned down from that.
So light French gray, too. You know, reposed gray. Much better.
You've lost Mark. Yeah. Mark is down the rabbit hole. No. What have you found? What have you found?
There is a pink color, and it is atomic vomit green. Yeah. I'm just putting it right here. Would you confirm that for me?
Atomic vomit green. Match of Nickelodeon, by the way. Nickelodeon slime.
Yeah, now that is a kid room for sure.
Then there is a Dangerous Robot, another interesting. So
Kitten Whiskers, too.
I'm sorry. Oh no, come on, look at that one.
Yep. Dead salmon. That's a good one.
How big do you guys think the pile of drugs is in the room for the people that come up with the names?
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah. Oh, come on, there's literally one here by Benjamin Moore, and the name of the paint is Newborn Baby.
Wow.
We're gone. Sorry, were you saying something?
We're lost.
Yeah.
Continue, please.
Well, you know, after you paint your child's room atomic vomit green, some other things that you can do to spruce things up.
White trim with that, too, please.
Yes, well, obviously, of course. Yeah.
Chris, I think it is important.
Yeah.
Outside painting
is
really, really important because you want your property to look good, but at the same time, pre-Great Recession, banks would go ahead, they would finance a property if there was peeling paint. Post-recession, they don't finance properties if there's peeling paint.
Really?
There were so many homes that were being foreclosed on that had peeling paint. As a result of peeling paint, there was wood underneath that was compromised. So the banks were taking back these properties, having to replace all this wood and then paint the exterior. So now, not only does it look nice, not only is it going to help you to sell your property more quickly and for a little bit more money, but also your buyer may not be able to secure financing if there's peeling paint on the exterior of the property.
Well,
so I'm glad you mentioned outside work.
And there has been times where, you know, there's been projects for you that houses that they were listed, we had to come in. It was a short notice. The bank was ready to move forward except for the peeling paint. So we came in and took care of it and, you know, brought the sale along. So it's a need. That's not even a want. You have to if you have peeling paint.
And I'm usually telling people, listen, you're going to have to do it anyway. You might as well do it now in advance of listing because you're going to get the bump in terms of the increase of the sale price. No sense in waiting for it to be mandated. Oh, and also, if you're doing it in advance of listing, you don't have the new homeowner or the bank appraiser getting out with a magnifying glass looking to see what kind of a job you're doing.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. Might be a dumb question here, Chris. When it comes to exterior painting, what times of the year can you do that? Do you guys get out there when it's not bad in the winter?
No, not at all. Which, you know, keep in mind, I have seen other people do that. That's, you know, I've seen it all. But typically what you look for, all of the exterior paints that we use from Sherwin-Williams are actually rated for 35 degrees and above.
Okay.
But what you want to be careful of is you know, I have a standard of 45 and above, and I look at the overnights, right? So it could be 50, 55, sunny. You're talking early April, maybe into October, right, where it's kind of on the borderline. You know, I'm looking at the overnights. I don't want to go below 40 or 45
overnight. I don't blame you, for the record.
Right, no.
Is this for the paint or for your own personal comfort?
Yeah, both, right? Yeah, definitely don't want to see us out there, you know, in below 35. But no, the reason really being is the paint won't actually cure. It needs 24 hours to cure.
Okay.
Otherwise, it will fail much quicker. And if you don't hold that temperature of 35 and up overnight, then it won't cure and it won't last.
Okay.
So you need to stay above that 35. And so, you know, we don't mess around with it. I look, before I'm ready to go outside, I want to see a week straight of like 40, 45 degrees overnight.
And this is, we're coming upon that time of year when it is that that I've got clients who will say, well, I'm going to be listing in the spring. And boy, if they want to list in February, March, April, I'm telling them, okay, great, let's do the exterior painting now before it gets too cold in October or November. So
100%.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Well, Chris, if people want to contact you, throw it out there.
Yeah, so you can reach us. You can look us up on our Facebook business page, and that's just Sekulis Precision Painting on Facebook. We have before and afters of every job we have ever done, both interior and exterior. And you can feel free to call us at 585-284-9548. Again, call, text. And email is sekulispecisionpainting@gmail.com. Give us a shout.
There we go.
For sure.
Nacho cheese.
Again.
Yeah, nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese, really?
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine what that would look like.
What room does that go in?
I don't know. Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, yeah.
Yeah.
You realize, Chris,
salsa as well? Maybe guacamole?
Chris, you realize Mark's going to be looking at this for the rest of the day.
Yes.
No one calling, no one texting.
Probably a good time for you to get us out of here.
I was going to say, you got to do paint color of the week.
Ooh,
every podcast.
Yes, there we go.
Yeah. We are in. Chris, thank you again for your time. Much appreciated. Some really good info, and just the beginning of our series of how to prepare your home for the market. We will bribe others to come and jump in here and lend their expertise as well.
Perfect.
We've been mentioning, though, that we have a lot of listings coming up in September.
Oh, my God.
Are there any freshly painted exteriors, interiors in these listings?
But in the past 11 days, we've gotten 11 new. So we already had, I think we've probably got somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 or 20 new listings going on the market for sale in September.
How is Cam, our listing agent, doing? Is he okay? Is he pulling his hair out somewhere?
Thank God for Cam. But we do have, we are listing so much. We've just hired a young woman. Her name is Lucy. She's going to be our new listing coordinator. And Cam, given that he's the nice guy that he is, he really is so nice. So Lucy's going to be going ahead and she's going to be filling out all the paperwork. Cam's going to be walking it over, driving it over to a client's house and sitting with them and just securing their signatures, because that's his superpower.
Yes.
Yeah, that interpersonal touch.
Very kind.
Yeah.
But you can see all the listings as they pop up over on the website. Again, marksiwick.com, MarkSiwiec.com. If you want to reach out to me, if you're looking to buy, we'd certainly love to have a conversation with you.
Or sell.
Either one.
My God. Yeah.
I know a good
paint person.
Don't
hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
607-341-1230 to connect with me. Mark, any numbers you want to throw out since everyone's doing it?
Sure. 330-8750. I mean, you said numbers. I was like,
what numbers?
Statistics? Right. Like, what are you looking for? You were looking for my phone number.
Yeah,
there's so many numbers to throw out.
Yeah.
I mean, you could throw out more paint colors if you want.
No. Call Corey. Seriously.
Yeah.
No. Corey's just awesome. Corey's amazing. Call Corey. Corey, what's your number one more time?
607-341-1230.
All right.
There it is. Thank you so much for listening. Again, subscribe, review, share the podcast, help it grow. And we'll continue our series of how to prepare your home for the market next week.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's Open House with Mark Siwiec and Corey James Moran.